Pick Peck Honda for all your automotive needs. Shop and save on over 1,300 of your favorite new Hondas during the Happy Honda Days sales event. Like a new 2019 Honda Accord LX front-wheel drive sedan. Lease for $249 a month. 36 months, 12,000 miles per year, and zero security deposit. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport. Online at patpeckhonda.com. Stock number KA161533, automatic 2099, due at signing, plus tax, tag, and title fee. To qualified buyer, see dealer for details, ends 1-2-20.
Honey, it's our favorite time of year, and I got you something to celebrate.
A McRib! It's just what I wanted!
Happy McRib season, sweetie.
Mm, I love you.
I love you, too.
Mm. Actually, I was talking to my McRib.
Oh, okay, well, I'll leave you two alone.
Right now, enjoy a McRib meal and get another tasty McRib sandwich for just a dollar. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Paranormal on United Public Radio Network, you know, we have two amazing guests on, and I'm very biased, man, because I'm very close with these guys. Peter Kanellis, of course, who I do investigations with, man. We're out and about here and there doing ghost investigations, that type of stuff. And his sister, Patricia, and they're going to tell you about how they got started in the ghost biz, if you want to call it paranormal investigations. When I call it ghost hunting, I have my friends out there. People are like, man, it's not ghost hunting. It's paranormal investigations, you know. People getting all specific on me, man. And then Pete just wrote a book, and Pete, say hello to everybody. You guys say hello to everybody out there. We got people listening everywhere, man.
Hi, this is Peter Kanellis, my sister.
Patty Kanellis.
Yeah.
Nice to join you tonight.
Yep. Yeah. And you know what? I'd like to say I'm the weirdest guy they know, but I'm not. That wouldn't be true. Because the stuff that we do, man, we every time you knock on someone's door, you're like, you know? I used to be.
You never know.
I used to be the weirdest guy in the room. Not anymore, man. I'm not even in the running. Now I'm like normal. I'm like the dad on Leave It to Beaver, like, So, yeah. So you wrote the book. I mean, this has been in the works for quite some time, and you got a lot of material. Met so many people. You've been, you know, doing paranormal investigations way longer than I even thought about doing, you know, and, and it's cool how you guys got your start, but let's talk about that because it's an awesome story, and I think that it's important to share these stories with people because then they have more of an understanding about their family lineage or if people are sensitive and they can look back in their families and they're going to find, you know, most likely 99.9% that their family was also sensitive. So how did it all start for you?
Well, started with my grandmother. I was only like 8 or 9 years old, and she started telling us these ghost stories about ghosts coming at night and standing by her bed. And they would come through the walls and a guy in a top hat and just crazy stories. And we always wanted to hear them. So she would share her ghost stories with us. And then a little bit later on, my sister lived in the house and she said activity. So we had activity growing up in my grandmother's old house. So basically, it started when we were really little, for me.
And she was a big dowser, right?
She did a little bit. She was sensitive, and she had a person she lived with, Ray. He was like a medium, and he was sitting in his rocking chair, and I still have the rocking chair and rock and get messages and channel. And it was pretty interesting, some of the stuff. And then people would ask them to find things, wallets, rings. They just knew where they were. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, he would be called upon. He was kind of famous in that way, that he would be called upon by the local community to find lost items for people. And he was involved with the Freeville spiritualist community for years, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And he found the stuff too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they went to him because he had a reputation. I mean, that's cool, you know, and you know what? I don't like people who don't believe stuff because I think they're narrow-minded. I think that you have to have an open mind, you know, like David Bowie said, if you can't prove something, or I think probably John Lennon said it first, but David Bowie stole it. You got to respect him for that. Unless you can disprove it, it's plausible, you know? So, I mean, well, you know, like me personally, when I first got involved with this, with you, Pete, you know, I was on the fence and I had experiences like you guys did when I was young, not as intense, but some, you know, and you say to yourself, you know what,
right.
we don't know everything. We don't know anything as humans, you know, maybe not even like maybe 1%. So you still have a whole 99% of stuff that we don't know. And as for me, I'm doing this radio show because I also do it about, you know, UFOs or whatever, and science. Really, I've been focusing a lot on science lately. Everything is connected, you know, and the stuff that I've learned from us doing investigations and then from your stories of going out with your brother and sister doing investigations, it's amazing. And it's real because we're not going to fake stuff. We're not going to go out there, you know. I mean, we show people pictures of like spirits and they're like, like, I can't sleep at night anymore, you know? Like,
it does. You know, it freaks them out.
You know, we've had people investigation that ran out of there because they were flipping out, you know? But,
so
who do you think those spirits were in that house? Like, who was trying to come forward? Do you think it was like other family members? Do you think it was just people or what?
Well, three family members died in my grandmother's house. And so I always thought that's what it was, but two mediums on separate occasions that weren't talking to each other, only talking to us, told us there's an Indian burial ground in the backyard and that there's a little Indian girl that has come to the house before. The other thing that really got us interested in this too was when our dad was dying with cancer, there was more activity. And our father was the biggest skeptic there ever could be. And yet he was casually talking to his dead mother, his dead war buddies. And I mean, he was making it seem like they were right there in the room, which seemed strange to us. And I've read a couple of good books on it in the meantime, and I wish I would have read them to know how to deal with Dad better.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, I think when you get near death, you kind of live in both worlds. As a nurse, that's what I feel.
Right. I mean, because you're in hospice care?
I recently retired from there.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
and
you've had those experiences.
Yeah.
Because I only know one experience, and it was so vivid. One of my friends who lived in Lansing, their aunt was passing away, elderly lady, you know, lived a long life. And grandma was taking care of her. She'd be literally in her deathbed. She only had a couple weeks to go, really. She was talking to everyone. They'd hear her up there 2 o'clock in the morning, laughing, having a good time. Oh, yes. I haven't seen you in years. You know, how are you? Like, and you know, well, the grandma had to go up there and say, oh, everybody's got to go home. She needs to sleep right now. She needs the strength. You know, exactly. You guys have to go. So, I mean, that's not a hallucination. I mean, this is so many accounts of people doing this, you know? So, mm-hmm. And then of course, from the stuff that what we do and the things that we've all discovered is that there's an afterlife and more than an afterlife, you know, and a before life. And it's kind of a cycle that goes around and around and around. And, you know, and I'm thankful I met the both of you, you know, especially Pete, because we've had some adventures, you know what I mean? And the book is awesome, man. The book is awesome. So tell people about the book. Where are they going to find? Where are they going to read it? They're going to buy it on Amazon, right? And also tell them where to get it.
Yep. Yeah, Amazon.com. You can just go and you can get the book. It's called Ghosts Are Real, Proof of the Paranormal by Peter Canellis. Yeah, you can get it on, you know, you can upload it on ebook or you can get it on the paperback. I think it's a mix of stuff. You know, there's no fluff in the book. I'm very straightforward. It's a little bit about growing up with it, my grandmother's stories. But then it goes into our investigations, and I use different tools. I don't use the tools like you see on the ghost shows. I want evidence. So I'm trying to take a lot of pictures. I'm doing a lot of recordings, things like that. So I investigate a little bit different than most people.
So that's the difference.
I think that's why I get more pictures.
A lot of people don't understand when they watch those shows, the shows are entertainment. You know, it's not about the quest of an investigation and its utmost integrity. It's about, okay, you know, there's scratching in the wall or it's a ghost or, you know, it's like they have to say something, right? You know, or that
exactly.
that guy, Zach. Last time I saw him, he was leaning over a coffin and then he's like, something touched my ass. Oh, something touched my ass. And you're like right out of there. I'm like, is this ghost show or is this like what, man? You guys getting ghost groped? You know what I mean?
It's entertainment, basically. Yeah. It's not that, like that's what really we do. I mean.
But you know what? What gets me too? They're all so brooding. They're all so like heavy, man. Like, you know, cross their arms, like you know, these executioners, man. You know, and like we kind of go in there and laugh it up. You know, I mean, and I've heard you and your brother and sister investigations. You guys have a good time. You know.
Yeah, we just relax. Yep.
Exactly.
It's about putting the families at ease too.
Right.
They're nervous enough. If you can put them at ease, it helps.
Yeah, I actually got some good feedback about my book, and they actually sent me some messages that, you know, I really liked you helping me out. You know, some we cleared their houses, you know, removed the negativity, but some of it was just closure from the families getting messages through our digital recorders or pictures, you know. So some of them are pretty traumatic events that happened, so they got some closure out of it, I think. So.
Like that dude in Hammondsport. I mean, he called me like 2 years after. He actually called to complain because I put his wife on the air. Like, you know, he was like, don't put my, but she was kind of walking in front of us. It was hard not to get her on camera. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Then they were okay with it and whatever. But that was 2 years later, and the guy had said that you know, it's neutral, nothing going on. And you remember, people didn't live in that house long. You know, they were in, they were out. Yeah. So I mean,
actually, when we investigated, the people moved out of the house before we even finished getting our evidence. That's how fast they moved out.
The coolest part of the story is that you went there to talk to them, and then those people moved out in the middle of the night. And then 7 months later, this guy calls. He calls me, and he's like, you know, telling me this stuff's going on. It's the same address. You know, I was like, no way. That's cool. You're not for them, but. But you know, for us, it's kind of cool. It's like our Super
Which is
Bowl,
crazy.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same activity too, which was pretty crazy. You know, it was similar activity that the first people had. That's what was kind of strange about it. You know, nothing really changed.
So tell me about tell me about the first time you grabbed a dowsing rod, because that's a good story, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird because I broke a coat hanger in half and I didn't get much. I was at home. I'm like, man, these things aren't working that much. And so somebody mentioned, why don't you go to your grandmother's house? Because there's crazy energy there. People all know about my grandmother's house. So I go over there, and as soon as I got in the living room, they started spinning like crazy. I had to hold my face back. They were spinning in my hand so fast. It was crazy energy. It shot right through me. And then after that, they've always worked really well. So I don't know what the thing is with that, but it was intense.
They don't just work.
Peter would use them to set up his cameras. He would he would pick out areas that were active by using the dowsing rods.
If anyone ever tells me that they don't believe in dowsing rods, I smack them in the head, because I've tried to trip Pete up so many times. Like, I'm like, hey, go find this thing, you know, or like we were in that one investigation at the Taylor house, and I had that bottle of booze, the peppermint schnapps, and you thought it was downstairs with my gear, because that's the honest thought, right? Like, of course, my stuff is there.
Right.
You know, you didn't know that I put it in that room and like hid it on a shelf behind other stuff. That was cool, man. And you even paused by the stairs because you thought you were going to be going downstairs. The dowsing rods the dowsing rods brought us right into that room. Pointed right at that shelf. That's amazing, man. That's amazing.
And I wasn't expecting it to go that way. My mind was going downstairs, gone, but the dowsing rods took me to the whole room, which I thought was weird, but that's where it was. So it was pretty cool.
So I've come to rely on those things more than anything in these investigations, just for yes and no answers and that type of thing, you know. And just, you know, if you have a medium with you, that's all well and good, but you know, I mean, unless you really know how good they are, you know, unless you really know how accurate and their interpretation of stuff. And we worked with all kinds of people. And then I got to say, they're all good. You know what I mean? They're all good. And, I'm appreciative of that too. And, you know, even though some of them may have suffered from different problems in life and whatever, I think empaths have just that dogging them, right. And they deal with it in all kinds of ways. That's like a whole another Dr. Phil ghost show, man. You know, like, you know, empaths dealing with their substance problems and that type of thing. It's got to be heavy. I mean, you know, but
yeah,
I mean, we're
to feel everything. Yeah.
I mean, we're all a little sensitive, and mm-hmm. that one medium said to us that you keep doing these investigations, it's going to grow, you know, and I'm pretty much there.
I think it has grown. I think it has.
Yeah.
It's
Peter
cool.
In particular has some of his grandmother's sensitivities, I think.
Because it's inherited, you know. Remember that one guy that was a kind of a medium and he could see them, and then he had two siblings and one could hear, one could feel, one could see, and then like the grandmother could do all three, you know, and that type of thing. But I think that there's a lot to read out there if people are sensitive and they want to learn more about it. And then some people are just so heavy duty that they can't shut it off, they can't keep it away, and I think that must be like a living hell. You know, especially if other entities are coming to you for help, because like, you know, I understand it's like they're like a beacon in the night, you know. And then, we were in that the Taylor house with Nicole that one time, and Nicole Berardi Wright, and she said that young 13-year-old-ish entity came running at her, and, you know, like it actually distracted her in the middle of what she was saying to us. And she stopped and started communicating with us. And crazy, man. And I think that's kind of like a big responsibility also, you know, if you think about it. I've been some, you know, some crazy places, but you guys got a 45-minute long EVP in that Taylor house. Before I ever set foot in it, 45 minutes long.
That was the whole argument. Yeah.
That was crazy,
it was,
man.
Crazy.
You know,
you can
and
actually hear the guy beating her, like hitting her, and then there's a loud crash at the end. And then I don't know what you remember what the other medium said, that a girl was killed in there. So kind of makes sense with the EVP.
And just to let people know, this is an 8,000 square foot building that was empty, absolutely empty at the time. Nothing really near it. There was a church across the street, and there were some houses way behind. So it wasn't like you could have an argument bleed through. I mean, you know, we use good recorders, good microphones. They're pretty sensitive and all that, but that conversation was loud and it was like
it was
crazy. And you can hear you guys.
No women. And yet you guys got a woman's voice.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's why I brought the schnapps. You know, and unbeknownst to me, Lyons was a big German area, and schnapps was like the drink of the town back in the 40s, you know. So I'm not really a drinker at all, so I didn't know what to bring. I'm thinking like, oh, you know, it gets in your mind, right? Like peppermint schnapps. But I know like all three of us can tell if a place is active or not, you know. And
oh,
it's
kind
of. Yeah, ever since like watch the news and you're like looking at like a house, you know, or you know, like house hunters. And people are like looking at houses for sale. I'm like, that place is haunted.
Sometimes it's just a feel.
It just seems like the places are like, to me, they come off as dim, I guess, or darker or heavy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can feel it.
So, I mean, the book is awesome. How many pages, man?
Couple hundred, 217, 209, I guess.
That's a lot of value, man, because there's a lot of experience in there, and people are going to get a lot of out of it. Especially, you know, I've been hit up with a lot lately of people starting off, you know, like, you know, they're drawn to it, and what should I do or whatever. I'm like, you know what, everything I say, do the opposite. that's my thing. That's my thing lately. Any advice I give you, just do the opposite, man, because I clearly don't know what the hell I'm doing, man. But it's all about trial and error, you know? It's all about experience. Yeah. And like,
I think you learn everything in the field, basically, is what I've done.
Yep. You stumble through and find your way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find value in the trail cams. The trail cams, I think, are a nice asset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got some amazing photos, and that's kind of nice just having a camera always ready, you know, in case an active area goes active and you're not there necessarily in that time, you know. And
exactly.
You know, I mean, there have been so many things that have been proved to me personally where I was like, wow, man, that's really, you know, or am I really looking at what I think I'm looking at? You know, when you right. start seeing that we plucked that full body apparition out of that guy David's apartment in Ithaca. And I was like, what? You know, like, because that I know that wasn't you and me. I know that wasn't him. And I know that nobody else was in that room, you know. So,
yeah. And I actually got the video evidence. I haven't pulled up yet, but I remember mm-hmm. I had the video on me when I went into David's room. So I'm going to pull that up. And I remember my video camera was on now. So I'm going to get that. Just, you know, somebody asked, hey, can you prove it? I'm like, yeah, I got my video evidence. So
that was his family, man. And he whipped out that picture. When we went back, he whipped out that picture and he was like, look, this is her. Like from the 50s of her walking on the beach, and it was her, you know? And I'm like, wow, how does that happen? You know what I mean? And right. it was the holiday season, people visit and maybe she had a message. And I don't know, she was carrying that rosewood box. And then she was like right in front of you as you were leaning over the desk, like putting your recorder down. She was like right in your face. That's freaky, man.
That's my craziest picture, because I knew, you know, I was leaning over a desk with my recorder, and there's no way nobody could have been in front of me without standing on the desk. That was pretty cool.
You know, and then like we were talking the other day about, you know, about these shows that are out there, and, you know, there's some new ones that came out. We were kind of like just, you know, yeah, I saw that and whatever, and doing our thing. And it's funny because you were like, you know what? I'm just interested in helping people. And then that's why I tell these producers, whatever, they're like, oh, you could do a show and whatever, you know, and it's more about, you know, not snapping your fingers where something is going to happen and you have to, you know, go, you know, I don't know if you remember that show that was called Ghost Kids. I think it was Ghost Kids. And
Ghost Kids, yeah.
Yeah, everything was faked. They faked the whole thing. And I'm like, well, you know, it doesn't do any good to anybody. And if you're an investigator, that's manufactured evidence. It's not something that you want to really get in. But yeah, it's about helping people, because we've done that lots. And people couldn't sleep at night, or they didn't know what the hell was going on, or they wanted a better answer. Or like those people in Hammondsport, they were getting pushed down the stairs and scratched and all kinds of stuff. I want to live in a house like that. You guys did live in a house like that, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. We had activity. Patty had a lot of activity in her grandma's house.
I haven't had any lately, and I feel good about it. I think before it didn't scare me because I thought it was relatives. I was a little more freaked out that it might be some little Native American girl, but
mm-hmm.
I gotta live there, so what the heck?
Did you talk to them? Do you reach out, ask them questions, or try to do like EVPs type of thing?
We haven't done EVPs, but the one time I did laugh because I came downstairs in the morning and dishes were piled, clean dishes, in my sink. Like there was a frying pan and a glass on top of that and a plate on top of that. And I'm like, Grandma, if this is you, you could have at least put the dishes away for me.
I was about to say clean dishes. You know, there's some laundry you got to do. You know what I mean? My car's kind of dirty outside. You know, as long as you're in the afterlife and you're bored. go shop for you, stuff like that. But that's
a life burner.
Yeah.
You know, that's absolutely helpful, and it's not like something that would terrify you. So that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, I haven't really been scared, except I did have a camp light come on in the middle of the night, and first I thought somebody broken in, but you know, I looked around, no reason for it, but I just figured, oh, well, it's some kind of paranormal activity. And I just take it for granted, really.
Isn't that weird, though? Like, because you want to try to link up if someone's trying to give you a message, you know, like something's happening. Mm-hmm. It should direct you to the happening, you know, instead of just so like with me over the summer, you know, my dog one night. So during the day, I was doing laundry, going back and forth downstairs, and then there's a light in the next room down there that you have to touch the back of it to make the light go on. You know, it's like a tree light, you know, it's got like four lights on it. So it's never on. It's never on, never, you know, and nobody ever messes with it. It just sits there. So I'm going back doing laundry and the light's on. I'm like, what? That's freaking weird. You know, I'm looking around. I'm like, not even like if some mouse ran across it. It could never happen. You know, it was just in a weird thing. And I'm like, is it shining on something that I should be looking at? Like, trying to figure it out. Like how the heck did this stupid light? That night, about 8 o'clock at night, maybe 8:30, something like that. And I'm in the house. I'm in the living room, and my dog starts looking at something in the hallway, like with the light. I'm like, oh, it's probably some bug, you know. Got in, and but she's upset about it. She's not like a normal bug. She would be like, ooh, but this was like a little scared. So I look up there, there's a bee, a yellow jacket, right? And I'm like, huh, that's weird. So I kill it, and then there's another one and another one and another one. I'm like, no way. So I go into the large bedroom, and then the whole wall was covered in yellow jackets, you know, and they had made a huge nest and they came through. And I had heard stuff in there, and I called, you know, an exterminator. They actually came. They looked around. I don't see anything. Ha ha. See you later. And then meanwhile, there was a large problem that they ignored. And then I had to seal the room off and do all that and get people back and spray a whole bunch of stuff. And it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare because that's the last thing you want in your house, you know, or hundreds, if not thousands, of yellow jackets, right? And you know,
yeah, it looks like a warning to you.
It sounds like,
yeah, some kind of warning, but they could have like maybe like drew a yellow jacket on my computer, like something like beware, you know, the light downstairs. The lucky I was even doing laundry to see it, but yeah, right? I mean, that light had some kind of significance. Maybe that's all that they had to use to warn me, you know. I mean, and thank God, you know, nobody was sleeping in that room or anything because that could have been really bad, you know,
right?
I don't know, but signals and you know, all that from beyond, sometimes we get them. And like that full body apparition we caught in David's apartment, she had a message for him, you know, and then she was trying to tell him something. So, and it's something that for us to figure out, like, you, I remember there was typing on his keyboard too. Remember that? Like, and then there was nothing being, nothing being typed out. So they weren't that strong, I guess, to do that. But From you guys, because you also did it with your brother, you know, these investigations, which is unique. You don't see like a lot of families. I know they're trying to push it now on TV, like they have like three brothers that are doing it and whatever. Yeah. But you guys did it first, you know, as a family. And so how did that start? I mean, aside from seeing the ghosts and whatever, what made you say, okay, let's start doing these investigations? And your brother's a huge skeptic. He's a huge skeptic.
He's huge, and we're skeptical too, but he was huge, really skeptical.
More than us. Yeah. But I think it was when my dad was sick, and some of the activity, you say you get a warning. I think that was part of our warning that things were not going to go well for my dad, because it was around the time that he was becoming ill that I started having this activity. And he's been gone 14 years now. And recently, I haven't really had activity in there. So I have to think it was some kind of warning to us. But we became curious when Dad started talking to dead people, really.
Basically, yeah.
Because he was such a skeptic himself. That is not like him to do that.
He was huge skeptic.
So what was the first investigation you ever decided to do together as a group?
I don't remember what our first one was.
I think it was an inn, wasn't it?
Could have been an inn. Yeah, we were doing inns and bigger places, you know, hotels, things like that. And I think it's an inn, which we can't say, but
I'll have to tell you though. Yeah. The funny part is Peter and I, we were a little afraid to go in because we didn't know what to expect. And you know, now the evidence seems okay, but at the time we were a little afraid, so we saged ourselves.
Oh, really?
So we staged ourselves to protect ourselves. My brother, the other investigator, goes, it seems like they're running away from you guys. I'm like, they probably are, because then we told him what we did. He goes, that wasn't probably good.
last time we saged ourselves.
So it was kind of funny, actually.
But we did get some activity there. And to me, it amazes me when you're in there and you put out the digital recorder and you think you're getting nothing, and then you look over the evidence. And I have to give Peter credit. He was a great one for poring over the digital recorders and the pictures and really catching a lot of the evidence that we got. And it would be amazing because you knew you were there and you didn't hear anything. You didn't see anything at the time. But yet, when you look at the pictures and the EVPs, there's the evidence.
Yeah, like the ghost, when the farmer guy, I mean, he was huge. We had the video camera going the whole time. We didn't get anything on video. We got him on our trail cam, and he's absolutely huge. Actually, Patty's walking almost through him when he starts to show himself. It's pretty crazy.
And we didn't have a clue. Not a clue that time.
No, that was...
And the room, there was about 15 people there. Yeah. You wouldn't think you would get anything, really.
Right. Yeah, with that many people. Yeah. We tend to keep the groups pretty small now. And I think, you know, if you're small and you're likable, you know, you're having a good time, and they realize that you're there to talk to them specifically. That's exactly. Kind of when they come forward, you know. And yeah, a lot of them are suffering, and some say, "Help me." Some are like, "I'm not dead." Like you, all that stuff, you know. And you're like, "Oh, okay." You know, because Pete, you're like me. The second you get home, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is, you want to go through the evidence. Yep. You know, there's no going to sleep. You can't because you're too wired anyway from the investigation. And then when you hear stuff, when you hear stuff, and a lot of it's real time, you know, the EVPs, you know, we really don't do sessions per se. It's more about rolling everything as we're doing it, you know, and it's trial and error. It's what kind of equipment we could use to so they can manipulate to better talk to us, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of times where I think like when people are asking me like, hey, you know, what do you think about, you know, communicating with people who are past, and, you know, there's that one woman who reached out to you, to me, and her son had committed suicide in Pennsylvania, you know, and I turned her on to Robbie Thomas, you know, great medium, great psychic. Robbie, man, writes books, works for the FBI and all this other stuff to find bodies. And he's pretty damn proven, you know, and in fact, he's coming on in January and also March because he's got this big thing coming up. But I turned her on to him, and he laid it out to her straight. He's like, I think the kid committed suicide. And the woman didn't want to hear it. She didn't want to hear that from anybody, you know. And, you know, it turns out many months later that the girlfriend of the guy, you know, actually put out the video to the mom of what her son sent to her, like, telling her, you know, you broke up with me, I'm going to kill myself. And he actually showed the tree stand where he hung himself and said, I'm going to do this right now. You don't call me back. The girl didn't call him back, which is kind of crappy to do, of course. But, you know, I guess it is what it is. And he did kill himself, you know. So, but people don't always get the answers, you know, that they want. And then she was like flipping on how to communicate, like, you know, what kind of device can I buy? Electronic equipment can I buy? And I'm like, it doesn't really work like that. I'm like, we kind of use everything, you know? Yep. I mean, everything. Like powder on the
floor. Bigger objects. Yeah, anything.
Yeah. You know, so it's more like that. And you might get a yes or no answer, or you might not get the answer. I mean, EVPs, we got some beautiful Class A EVPs, full sentences. And, you know, you guys got that whole 45-minute long argument. And at the end of the argument, you hear that boom, boom, crash. Like, right? Remember that?
Yep. Yeah, it was really loud.
Yeah. It was crazy when I first met you guys. And you know, I first listened to that thing. I was like, wow, this is intense. And you know what's funny? Listening to it without going there is only like half the battle. Once you go into that place, the Taylor House, and you start feeling that energy, and you look at the place and what, I mean, pretty grand building, you know, for what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Big, big, amazing staircase and all that. Rat turds everywhere, man. And then it's all part of the investigation, right? But you know what gets me is when who was that? It was Cindy. Remember, we did the investigation. We had gone to an expo and met a couple mediums and then or psychics. And we're like, hey, you know, we're doing this investigation. It was Cindy. Tell her last name.
Thompson.
Yeah. Cindy Thompson. She walked through that door and she's like, a girl died right here. And we didn't tell her anything about the place. Nothing. Media blackout for mediums because we want the mediums to tell us things. So she just was like right on it, man. And I was like, wow, that because no one had told us that before. And that's where we got. In fact, the picture on the cover of your book is from the Taylor house. And that's the picture that you took with your hunting camera, which was way, way, way back in a whole nother room because this building is huge. Right. The girl was actually hiding from the camera behind a wall. That picture is a reflection of the front glass. So it's which is cool. The glass is showing her image, you know? So, that was an amazing capture right there. And when you showed me that picture, I was like, wow, you know, that's cool. And that it coincides with the girl dying there and that particular spot.
It looks like a young girl and her face is really distorted, which is creepy. If you zoom on her face, there's no face there, which is crazy. You know what? To the right of the picture too, it's got a little portal.
Yep.
I've gotten several portal, very sharp, very bright lights right next to the picture, which I knew instantly that probably got something.
Think about it, because your camera had to have gone off. It had to have been, I don't know, 60 feet away, maybe more. I mean, it was down a long corridor through two doors, definitely through at least two doors down a corridor, you know, and that caught that image that far away. That's pretty intense. You know what I mean? Yeah, but
pretty good.
Most likely that was
a backflash.
And most likely that was the girl in the argument. And she was the one who fell down the stairs. And the guy pushed her or whatever the hell happened. And you can see those stairs. I mean, they're pretty steep. You fall down the stairs, you're probably going to die. You know, and that's what it sounded like on your EVP. So that's an investigation. You're taking so many different parts of evidence and putting it together and trying to make a story out of it, you know. But
exactly.
And then, you know, Tammy on the second floor getting all like possessed. You know what I mean? You know, she was like, that boy. There was this kid, Cahill, who told us on EVP his name was Cahill. And she's like, that boy's not leaving that room. You know what I mean?
When she started screaming down the hall and then clenching her fist, I mean, that's not Tammy's behavior to get really aggressive. And she started stomping her feet. I don't know if you remember, stomping her feet. And then she started screaming. Like, what is going on with this? And, you know, I got a picture. I could see her face. Her face changed.
You saved your life.
Elongated.
Oh, yeah. You can see the video, man. It's actually on YouTube. YouTube.com/discoveryparanormal. It's the Taylor house. But you can see her face like flipping, and you saved her life because it's almost like what was driving her was like your EVP, that girl falling down the stairs. And that kind of flashed through my mind when it was happening. Like, because I was behind her and you were standing right by those stairs. Luckily, because she was headed in that direction. She was trying to find her way out of there. Then she starts going up to the attic where the real action was going on. You know what? And then she was like just flipping, wanting to get out of there. And then Cindy and I stayed behind with her daughter. And then Cindy's like pointing up to the attic, like that bastard's up there, you know? And you know, like she's referencing. I look out the window and Tammy's doing like push-ups in the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like,
well,
yes.
She's she was drowning herself because she said she still felt the anger in her body. She said she goes, and so she was actually putting her hands on the ground and trying to get it out of her.
One of the coolest parts of that video is when we all went outside to chill, right? And a couple of people were smoking cigarettes and we're just talking about what we just experienced inside. And then we decided to all go back in. We were out there for a good 25, 30 minutes. We all decided to go back in again. And I was the first one through the door. The second I went through the door with the camera, there was somebody humming. Like there's just like a girl going, just like that little tune. And then she started going, la, 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 la. You can actually hear that on the video because I included
it.
Yeah, that was crazy. But the cool part is we walked back in. all the lights were on. All our sense, like the sensor lights, you know, well, every last one of them was on. Yeah, the motion sensor.
Motion light.
We were out there for like a half an hour. There shouldn't have been any lights on. You know?
No, not at all. And if you look in this picture, one of the motion lights are triggered in the front, my front page. That's a motion light in the front. So it's definitely setting the motion light off. You know, it's funny, Tammy, too, when she got led to the stairs, she was going to fall down the stairs, just like that girl. The medium said the girl got thrown down the stairs. If I didn't grab her and turn her the other way, she would have went crashing down the stairs.
That would have turned out bad.
that would have not been good.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? When you read about stories like this and you know, of active houses and that how a lot of people, you know, how died there or whatever happened, like the same thing can happen again. You know what I mean? It's like that same energy, the same pathway happens again. You know, I mean, if those same energies are there that did that girl in, and we know that guy was there. There was two of them. There was those two guys.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that one preacher who was the bad one, the one that we were chasing around with holy water up in the attic, and and that other guy who was married to the woman who was so-called cheating on him. It was like a soap opera. It was like a paranormal soap opera. And the cool part is, initially you're just walking into this empty building. You know,
right.
And putting together that story and doing the research, and, you know, people came by and talked to us when we were there and told us stories.
The little boy.
How that kid got hit in the street by a car. Cause we were like, how is this 5-year-old kid here? You know, and you're trying to figure out, and it turns out that, you know, I think it's like back in the '70s or something, the kid had gotten hit out in the street. I'm like, wow. You know, and you start piecing things together of maybe that, you know, he ran in there and that's the closest place or however it works. I don't know how it works, you know, but you try to figure out and you try to help them. But man, then you get the ones that pose as kids, like that one in the Eerie Mansion. And that chick was like, yeah, you can come home with me. And we were like, no, you know, no.
Yeah, they can pose as little kids. You know, they call shapeshifters. They look like they're a little kid and they're not. And you've got to be careful. She let her guard down. We know what happened to her.
Yeah, she broke her collarbone within 24 hours, man, because her dog flipped out and had a chain on it. And the thing ended up on her collarbone. I don't know how the hell that even happens, but whatever happened, she broke her collarbone. And her TV was going on and off and changing channels, man. Yeah. You know, and then when we went back to the mansion, that little girl was still there. So that's got to tell you. And this is a mansion where a serial killer had killed a load of prostitutes, you know, and God knows how many. But pretty scary stuff, man, when you think about it. And Mark, I just talked to Mark not long ago. He you know what? He's a funny guy. He's a glutton for punishment. He's not comfortable in his own mansion, like a 12,000 square foot mansion. And, you know, he's trying to like rent out rooms as a B&B and that type of thing. And I think it's becoming more popular, but it's still sinister in its nature, you know, because you're talking about taking people. It's not like a natural death. Someone just kicking the bucket. They're old or whatever, you know, choked on some steak, whatever. You know what I mean? This is like someone taking your life from you, you know, and that just leaves a hole. And man, we felt that so many times. So what was the investigation that your best investigation as a family ever?
Well, biggest probably scariest would be Hammondsport.
Yeah, I'd say Hammondsport was the craziest. We've been in a lot of places over the years, but Hammondsport was right up there. The people were getting scratched, held down in bed. You know,
right, because you guys went in there first. You went in there those months earlier. And that family took off, man. They were like out of there. And then I called the landlord, you know, like, you know, you let us in the house and she's like, what do you want? Who are you? I felt like a dude on Poltergeist. I was like, listen, you have a problem in the house, miss. Maybe we can help you with it.
Nobody stayed in that house very long. And
that's what the neighbors
said. Serious.
The neighbor said not more than 6 months to a year, people move out. They're in, they're out. They're in, they're out, you know. Yeah. And that's not really a transient area. I mean, Hammondsport, it's kind of rock steady. So I know someone who grew up, somebody who not just grew up around there, a girl that I went to high school with, her grandmother had a house like four blocks away from there. And she said her house was haunted like crazy. When I said Hammondsport, she thought I was talking about Bat House. I was like, you know, and she told me the address. I'm like, no, it's totally different. But they got a lot of activity downtown there in Hammondsport. I guess people in Hammondsport listening like, oh, man, you know,
man. You know? Well, you remember you checked ley lines. I think ley lines and some stuff like that have, you know, areas of hauntings, like,
oh yeah,
you know, ley lines underwater, you know, water has a big current. So
unbeknownst to us, energy. We were working those ley lines up there along the Erie Canal. There was like two and then another one intersects. There's like three or four all together that kind of cruise over and intersect. And, you know, I did a whole show on ley lines a while ago and magnetic divides and how people have kind of disappeared, like right in front of someone's face, or stories or where someone's disappeared, like the guy in Whiteface Mountain, right? He went missing. He was skiing down the mountain, was the last thing he remembered. He went missing and they found him in California, like in his ski gear with his goggles on and his hat with his poles in his hand.
Pretty crazy.
You know what I mean? In like San Diego. I'm like, how does that happen? You know?
It's like a vortex or something, you know? It's crazy.
He didn't have his wallet, didn't have his info. He was a fireman from Toronto, a longtime fireman, well-liked, no psychological problems. He didn't have a meltdown. You know, they asked all the truck drivers back and forth, up and down the slab, if they had seen anybody or picked anybody up as a hitchhiker. Nothing, unless it was a giant hoax, and I don't think it was, because there's other stories like that where kids have went missing and other people. This guy was lucky because he turned up. You know, a lot of times they don't turn up at all. They just go missing and they're gone. But I mean, there was cases of like hikers, and then, you know, there was like 12 people and one disappeared right in front of them, like they walked into some kind of magic doorway. So, like, you know, you put together all these things and things that we don't know, and that's just, you know, on our planet and the energy that we have to deal with and the magnetics of it all. And I think a lot of that has to deal with it. But, you know, like we do, when the people say haunted, it could be like what we say earthbound, right? The people that are stuck or pissed off or they don't want to go for whatever reason. And then visitations, people like, you know, with David, his grandmother went to heaven. When I asked her, you know, if you've been to heaven, your dowsing rod said yes. And I said, is it beautiful? I swear she grabbed my hand and held my hand. I was standing there next to my camera and I was like, wow, you know. And when you're doing investigations, it's really important to know your senses and what you feel. Oh, and especially emotions too, because that's the first question I ask when people say they had some kind of experience. I ask them how they felt, you know, what did they feel at that
very
time?
Important.
But really amazing.
Creepy crawly feeling on my head when I feel something and energy in a place.
Yeah, it's like electric, right? It's like a spider web.
Yeah.
Like an electric
spider electricity.
Web. We walked that. That was me that one time at the Erie Mansion walking up the stairs where they saw that woman in the white dress. And a lot of people reference the white dress, but you got pictures of that. Like you got pictures of something flying around David's apartment.
Yeah, it was actually hovering over the couch too, and it was high off the ground, so it wasn't like low. It was kind of interesting how high up it was, so it was kind of weird.
I think Josie used that picture on the front of her book, right?
The energy of a house that we did, actually, where the medium, her daughter, picked it up, and she said, you know, can you point your camera toward this, and I got this dark energy, right? It was over her head, and then she walked out, this really dark energy.
So. Yeah, man. Well, you know what? You're going to sell millions of books, and that's cool, because then you get better investigations, because people call you like, you know, can you help me, man? You know, like with Robbie Thomas, he gets people from all over the world, and he can't really, you know, unless they pay him to go there, he doesn't really go there. He's not like wealthy or something, you know? And, but I'm thinking like, you know, so many cool investigations out there that just have so much history, or maybe even, you know, solve some problems for people or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it is what it is, but, you know, then there's those residual energies that just kind of play over and over again, you know, like some butler carried something on a platter every day of his life, you know, until he died. And then a lot of these buildings, you'll see that and see people walking through doors that aren't there or where there was a door and that type of thing. So tell people again, we got to end the show. See how fast it went, man. Okay. Just like that.
Yeah, it went really fast.
Tell people.
too, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Tell people again where they can get the book, what the book is, where they can get the book, and who wrote the book.
Okay. Ghosts Are Real, Proof of the Paranormal by Peter Kanellis. You can get it on Amazon. You can download the paperback or get the ebook. So Amazon, you can get that. And Ghosts Are Real, Proof of the Paranormal. It's a good book, I think, but I'm being biased, I think. But, but yeah, it's got some good stuff in it, good pictures. And
it is proof, you know, because when they say, and then I'm actually trying to change the whole paranormal thing, because the word paranormal means occurrences that happen that you can't record scientifically, but yet we're using scientific equipment to record these things, these incidents and voices and all kinds of stuff like exactly. that, you know. So definitely Amazon, Peter Kanellis, pick up the book. Patty, thank you for coming on. Pete, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Mike.
And, after you sell the first million copies, man, you're going to have to come back on again. And then, yeah, and definitely, man, write another book. You got material, yeah, I think, for 10 books, you know. I was going to do it.
Yeah, I got a lot of material.
But I'm lazy. I was happy for
it's
you.
It's a lot of work.
I was like, man, you know, it is a lot of work, man. It's you know, my hat's off to you, because there's just the edits and re-edits and all the stuff, you know. But it's also educating people. Educating people, it's bringing something out that needs to be brought out. And when people say, "Oh, exactly. that's not real," or "This isn't real," or "That's not real," I'm like, "You don't get it." You know,
that was my purpose of the book.
We wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't real. You know, I'd do something else. I spend my time playing guitar or something. You know, like you know what? You don't invest. I mean, and we're invested. I mean, you buy equipment, you know, and just kind of buy and sell. Buy something, doesn't work, move it on. If it does work, keep it. And then there's just a lot involved, plus the time involved. You know, we never charge anybody. You guys never charge anybody. We never charge anybody for any investigation ever. So it's more of a passion, but it's also a calling. And it's also, I think, the right thing to do, because we helped a lot of people. You know,
exactly.
And then you hear those stories afterwards of people being able to sleep again or having some kind of understanding of what's going on. That's the beautiful part of it, man. All right, guys.
Exactly.
Thank you for coming on. This is Michael Angley with Peter Kanellis and Patricia Ann Kanellis on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Past Christian, saying aloha.
Pick Peck Honda for all your automotive needs. Shop and save on over 1,300 of your favorite new Hondas during the Happy Honda Days sales event. Like a new 2019 Honda Accord LX front-wheel drive sedan. Lease for $249 a month. 36 months, 12,000 miles per year, and zero security deposit. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport. Online at patpeckhonda.com. Stock number KA161533, automatic 2099, due at signing, plus tax, tag, and title fee. To qualified buyer, see dealer for details. Ends 1-2-20. Pick Peck Honda for all your automotive needs. Shop and save on over 1,300 of your favorite new Hondas during the Happy Honda Days sales event. Like a new 2019 Honda Accord LX front-wheel drive sedan. Lease for $249 a month. 36 months, 12,000 miles per year, and zero security deposit. Visit us at 11151 US 49 in Gulfport. Online at patpeckhonda.com. Stock number KA161533, automatic 2099, due at signing, plus tax, tag, and title fee. To qualified buyer, see dealer for details. Ends 1-2-20.